So we're gonna move on here. We're gonna go to our stock, your take. We received an email from one of the listeners here. By the way, we always encourage any listeners to send in any questions that you have, and we'll do our best to cover them on the podcast. But this question in particular was about NYX Gaming. That is symbol NYX on the TSX Venture Exchange. What this is a digital gaming software supplier. So they make games, and as I understand it, they also have their own platform for making games that they provide as well. The share price today is sitting just above $2. There's been excellent revenue growth over the last year. In the last quarter, Q2, revenues were up over 200% to $35 million. Year-to-date, revenues doubled to about $55 million. The company did report positive EBITDA, earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization on an adjusted basis. Adjusted EBITDA was $10.5 million for Q2, up from $2.5 million in the second quarter of last year. However, in spite of some pretty encouraging numbers that we've seen here on the top line, the company has not yet reported positive earnings. And where the fundamentals really start to fall apart for us is when we look at the balance sheet. This company has $290 million in debt, which is a massive debt load for a company of this size. It's about $100, $150 million market cap, the value of its equity on the market. They also have another $70 million in convertible preferred shares. So the capital structure to us looks a little bit messy. We're impressed with the revenue growth, but if we want to put things into perspective here, the company paid over $8 million in interest payments in its last quarter alone, which eats up almost all of the $10.5 million in adjusted EBITDA that they reported. What we fear when we look at a company like this is it's gonna end up as one of those countless stories that we've seen in the past that are putting out very impressive revenue growth numbers, either issuing a lot of shares or taking on a lot of debt to purchase assets, but they never really quite transition into real profitability. And when they do, profitability doesn't grow on a per share basis. In spite of the strong revenue growth, it just never seems to happen. So what the problem is with a high debt load as well, when you have a small company like this, is that it just really does not give the company a lot of flexibility to make mistakes or really to find opportunities. They've got very high interest payments. The more debt that they have, the less they're going to be able to take on, unless they're able to achieve profitability. So if a new opportunity presents itself potentially in 6 months, 12 months, they may not be able to act on it if their debt levels are too high, or they'll have to pay such a high interest rate that it completely nullifies any benefit that acquisition would have. So if the debt were being invested into assets that were turning out globs of free cash flow, then there'd be something real to analyze, but that doesn't appear to be the case so far. So right now, this business model is unproven to us. We see a lot of financial risk in the capital structure. We would consider it speculative, and we would not be purchasing shares at this time. But we would potentially follow it and look for a transition into solid profitability.
Yeah, I'd agree. And I think your key point there is $8 million in interest payments and $10.5 million in adjusted EBITDA in the quarter. It's, you know, those interest payments aren't going away anytime soon. And, you know, there is no opportunity for free cash flow to capitalize on much opportunities going forward. And it, you know, makes this company unable to capitalize on growth opportunities other than going to the market with shares or issuing more debt, which we would not recommend at this stage.